keep an ear out for trains.
Oh.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Why? What are you going to do?
Stop.
Have them stop them?
No. We stop and
we
wait.
We stop.
We wait for trains to go by.
Oh, okay.
It's part of the process.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Choo-choo.
So it's the big day, the day of the technocosmic wedding. With your virtual invitation in your hand, you walk into the venue. Prayer flags hang from the ceiling above you. A set of handmade neon signs rest neatly in the window ledge, spelling out, "Marry me, Colleen." The neon question mark at the end is no longer working, but that's okay, because she said yes. This is Shame Pinata. I'm Colleen Thomas. Welcome to Shame Pinata, where we talk about creating rites of passage for real-life transitions. So welcome back to our discussion about the technocosmic wedding. On last month's episode, we told you about how this unusual ceremony came to be, why it was modeled on an event called the Technocosmic Mass, and how it welcomes something you don't normally see at a wedding, grief. Today, my husband Rodrigo and I are going to walk you through the day itself, starting a few weeks before the day itself, when things started to go off the rails.
So a couple things that happened before the actual wedding day were that a couple unexpected events happened. One was that you were in a car accident and you're healthy and whole.
Yes. But I was a little bit sore.
But you were, yes, very sore.
And I couldn't dance.
Yeah, which was a big bummer.
Which was terrible.
Yeah.
Because I was having a dancing wedding and I couldn't dance.
Totally.
Oh.
Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah. And what was much bigger than that was a week later was that your father passed away very suddenly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And he was in Mexico City, so it meant a trip down right before our wedding, basically. And with my mom, who was also an officiant at our wedding.
Right.
So we basically, just a few days before the wedding. So I ended up going down and coming back and then having a wedding.
Yeah.
So it was a lot.
Yeah. You had a friend who said that he would fill in for you if you didn't get back.
Oh. Right.
That was funny.
That was funny.
Yeah. But that was such a really bumpy ride into the day. Yeah, it was like so much confusion and heartbreak going into. I feel like we kind of went into the day, the transition, the wedding, the ceremony, we went into it kind of broken wide open in different ways, you know. Yeah. And I think more than we even expected to, we had to give in and give over and trust our team. And then on the wedding day itself, our house, which is normally so quiet, was full of family, and we had grandchildren on the back porch making signs, and people were cooking. Your daughter was making the wedding cake, and you guys were all in the front room.
Yeah.
Doing the tech.
And
I was probably lying down for my back.
Yeah.
And then at some point, we sent them all away. Everybody was gone, and we got the afternoon or a few hours before the wedding to just be alone, and we sent them all. They all were down at the facility,
right,
at the site, getting ready, and that's when I handed out drawings of the altars, like sketches. You know, this is what I want it to look like, and here's all the material you need for it. They took like all the stuff and the plans, and they went, and we just were like, well, we're going to put it together. And we had our time to connect and, you know, prepare.
After spending our time together, we went to the venue with our open hearts and my healing body. We were excited to see what our team had built.
For me, walking in was really cool because we hadn't been there for it all being set up.
Right.
We were kind of like guests walking in because it was like, that's really cool. And that's really cool. And and kind of seeing how like the care that our friends had put into setting everything up how we wanted it, and how, to me, it just felt like everything was right on, like the altars and the moon tent and and this, you know, having the screens and the and the videos. It just felt like really immersive. Felt really good.
So we spent those initial few minutes looking around, kind of in awe, really, at what a year of living and breathing the technocosmic mass had helped us manifest. The world's first technocosmic wedding. There were five big altars dedicated to relationship in all of its forms, relationship with self, friendship, romance, family, and the earth. And there were two huge video screens, a sound system, and dance lights. It was important for us to attend the event as bride and groom and leave the work of holding the space and moving everyone through the event to our event managers, our officiants, and most of all, to our weaver of context, Michelle Jordan. Michelle had worked for many years with the Mass team, so we knew she would do a great job, and she was awesome.
There was the calling of the directions.
Right.
Which I thought was really cool.
And to each other and to everything, every part of creation, we are quite literally stardust. Welcome above.
Welcome above.
And then somewhere between there and the next thing, there was this sort of tech problem.
Oh, yeah.
That was also really interesting because I'm usually the tech guy and usually my instinct is to go fix it. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to go fix it. You know, I think it was like a couple minutes that it took to resolve. But those minutes seemed like really long. And so it's just like, okay, I'm just gonna let it be. And, but then it was resolved and people wanted well to it being resolved and everybody was happy that it was resolved. And then we didn't have any tech problems after that.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
It was good. I think our Weaver of Context made a little song up about it because she was wonderful at the moment.
Right.
She did a really good job of explaining what was happening and really holding everybody's, like, you know, hands and hearts throughout the whole day.
If you joined us for last month's episode, you heard a lot about the Technocosmic Mass, which was the event we based our wedding on. Here's the Cliff Notes version. The spiritual tradition underlying the Technocosmic Mass is called creation spirituality. It was started by theologian Matthew Fox. The Mass is built on the four paths of creation spirituality, which are the Via Positiva, celebrating joy, awe, and wonder; the Via Negativa, honoring darkness, loss, and grief; the Via Creativa, celebrating ourselves as divinely creative beings; and lastly, the Via Transformativa, honoring our role as spiritual warriors. Like the Mass, the wedding had four distinct parts, beginning with the Via Positiva.
Like we had mentioned before, our friend Dara sang often throughout the ceremony, and one of the first things we did during the Via Positiva section was we did a circle dance.
Here we go. Walking, meditation, singing, singing, meditation, dancing, dancing, meditation, the way.
It was a very simple dance. Mm-hmm. We had everybody in a big circle, and it really loosened everybody up, got everybody singing, got their bodies more present in the space, mm-hmm. which was part of that, you know, come join us. We're here together in this community event. You know, you're not just going to be sitting in a chair watching a wedding.
Watching what's happening, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, our wonderful friend Shanti read the We've Come to Be Danced poem.
Mother, may I? Yes, you may take 10 giant leaves dance. The Ollie Ollie Oxen free, free, free dance. That everyone can come to our heaven dance. Yeah. We come to be danced where the kingdoms collide and the cathedral of flesh to burn back into the light, to unravel, to play, to fly, to pray, to root in skin sanctuary. We have come to be danced.
We have come to be danced. We have come to dance in joy. We have come to dance in awe. We have come to dance in wonder. We have come to be danced.
And the trance dance was wonderful. I remember I fought for it to be 20 minutes. People were like, that's too long. It's too long. And I'm like, no, no, no. 20 minute dance. And it was wonderful. I loved it, even though I couldn't dance. I loved it. Mm-hmm. It was a dance to sweat your prayers. It was a dance to wake up your body and, you know.
And it was had like techno music and lights, mm-hmm. like techno lights.
Mm-hmm.
So it had like that rave sort of
feature
of the technocosmic mix, which was really cool.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we transitioned into the Via Negativa.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about that?
Well, for me personally, it was really powerful because my dad had died. And so that was like a grieving time for me. And you... You know, grieving for you not being able to dance, and so it felt good to be able to like be my whole self in the space and not have to kind of set that apart from like, oh, I'm just supposed to be happy and have a smiley face and not feel my feelings.
Yeah, I really explored on season one of Shane Piñata with a lot of guests about that a wedding is a transition, and with every transition there's loss as well as something new, and we don't usually create room for that loss for ourselves and then for our loved ones, you know, who were maybe feel like they're losing a sister or they're losing a daughter or a son, or and with a wedding supposed to be a certain happy way, there's not room for those feelings. So it was really special to have room. I feel like the Via Negativa is such a jewel in as a concept and such a wonderful addition to any ceremony to have a time dedicated to whatever's there that's sad that wants to be expressed. Because then, in addition to getting it to express it and be our whole selves, we can come out with that, like, you know, going through like after the rain, you know, that like fresh feeling after the, like during the, we did a passing of the peace right after the Via Negativa, and most of us had like red noses and our faces were all wet because we've been crying, and it was just had a really heart opening, very beautiful, soft, authentic quality.
Yeah, totally.
And then we went on to the Via Creativa, celebrating the cosmos, celebrating our role as creators in creation. And our good friend Sean was our officiant for that section. And we actually watched a little bit of a Neil deGrasse Tyson video.
Right.
Which was wonderful.
About the cosmos.
About the cosmos.
And how we're connected to it.
Yeah.
When atoms came from those stars, there's a level of connectivity. That's really what you want in life. You want to feel connected. You want to feel relevant. You want to feel like you're a participant.
And then I believe there was the flower pelting ceremony, which was designed to get everybody back up off the floor and moving again before the actual ceremony where they'd be sitting
right.
for a while.
So we've reached the Via Transformativa, the final path of the four paths. And in our case, the time when the wedding ceremony would be happening. Rodrigo put on his wedding jacket and I grabbed my veil. Our mothers took up their positions and everyone found their chair.
After having used the room as a dance floor, then it was set up with chairs, several rows of chairs in concentric circles with two aisleways through.
Yeah, I remember we started, like, if it's a clock, you started at 12 o'clock and I started at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So then you would have walked from 12 to 6 and I would have walked from 6 to 12 alone around the outside of the circle. And then when we got to the opposite point, the 180 degrees from where we started, we met our mom, mm-hmm. our moms.
Mm-hmm.
And then we walked in, me with my mom mm-hmm. and you with your mom,
mm-hmm.
to the middle. And our moms were holding our rings. Like, my mom was holding my ring, and your mm-hmm. mom was holding your ring. And when we got to the center, the moms exchanged rings
mm-hmm.
as, like, a token of, you know, blending the families.
So we walked in, our mothers exchanged rings, and then our mothers sat down, leaving us standing alone in the middle of a circle, in the round, waiting for what was next. The plan was for our good friend Dar Ackerman to come out and sing a song about honoring fear, like the fear we were swimming in at that moment, and then to get married. But what happened really surprised me.
Dara came in singing
right.
this beautiful song, the I Am Not Afraid song.
I am not afraid to have nobody. I am not afraid to face my fears. I am not afraid to say I love you. I am not afraid to have you near. I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I am so
all of the heart-opening work we had been doing with us, with everybody throughout the night, that was just so evident because everybody's hearts were so open during that song and people were so present. And much later, well, I realized that she married us.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't seen that coming. I thought, oh, Dara will sing a song and then we will get our blessings and we'll be married. Uh-huh. I didn't realize that Dara would be marrying us.
We weren't planning to have Dara be the officiant, but she became kind of like the emotional sort of officiant with that song. Like the first verses of it, she kind of gets everybody singing with her,
mm-hmm.
and then she sings the last one on her own, and it was her singing to us.
I was always afraid that someone might love me.
After we had the blessings, because we had what? We had a Native American blessing, and we had mm-hmm. a New Age blessing, and we had a Christian blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And then our main officiant, or our final officiant, she said, you've had the religions, you've had the world's religions to have blessed you.
Mm-hmm.
You have been planning this wedding longer than the world's religions have been around.
Totally.
And your wonderful friend made us a beautiful wedding quilt.
Right.
With gifts, panels from all our friends and
yeah.
presented that around us and pronounced mm-hmm. us a couple, and somebody dumped a big basket of flowers on top of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a really slow rotation being sort of presented
right.
to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really magical.
It was.
In producing these two episodes, Rodrigo and I had the chance to relive the day in our own hearts and reflect on some of the moments that have stayed with us over the years.
A surprising thing for me that I wasn't expecting was the kind of how big a presence the children that mm-hmm. came mm-hmm. were. They were very present for the entire thing. Uh-huh. They were... you know, in the middle of the of the room a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And we were just like, we didn't like shush them out or, you right. know, which I thought was really precious that, you know, yeah. we were just like, yeah, if you want to be in the middle of the circle, you know, come uh-huh. and be in the middle of the circle. And so, yeah, that sort of energy of like their youth, they're just being themselves, and during the negativa, there was a girl that, like, came up to us, and because she could tell, like, that we were, like, you know, crying, and she wanted to, like, comfort us, and it was just really sweet to have that
yeah.
sort of, and that was not something I, you know, that was planned in any sort of way or anything like that,
yeah.
and even... afterwards, somebody said that they had asked, is this how all the weddings are? Because that was their first wedding they had been to.
Right, right.
And we were like, oh my goodness, they're going to be in for a surprise when yeah. they go to another wedding.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this when we were getting ready for... the trance dance, and our friend was reading the poem about we've come to be danced. One of the little boys was just running around, just like, he was so exuberant. He was just feeling the energy,
mm-hmm.
and he was jumping, and he could just, mm-hmm. He was just totally present with the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, when we were both sitting on the floor crying, you know, and she came up to us, mm-hmm. and she was just kind of like, just watching us like, wow. Huh. You know, they were just like curious and around and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
They're such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard from some of their families that they weren't normally like that.
Oh.
And they just felt really free and
mm-hmm.
really able to express themselves. And it was really beautiful.
Yeah. And I like the idea that, you know, maybe we created something that could shift how they thought of weddings could be, you know, what the possibility of a wedding can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did that for everybody.
Yeah.
Including ourselves.
Yeah.
As you can hear from the way we describe it, Rodrigo and I were successfully able to create a wedding ceremony that expressed the uniqueness of us. It didn't matter that people were a little unsure what we were about or what they were expected to do. We took their hands and we welcomed them in, encouraging them to participate at whatever level felt right. If you are in the midst of the wedding planning journey, remember you can do it your way. Don't be shy. Lean into the things that make your relationship unique and special. Dare to be unconventional. And if you have friends planning a wedding, share these two episodes with them. Thank you so much for coming to my wedding. Don't forget to grab a piece of cake on the way out. Learn more about creation spirituality at matthewfox.org. Find Michelle Jordan on Facebook at michelle.jordan.9461. Hear the entire I Am Not Afraid song at daraackerman.com. And get a look into the Via Negativa section of our ceremony in the Washington Post article called A Joyful Wedding Can Still Make Room for Grief, written by friend of the podcast, Tria Wen. Find links for all of these in the show notes. Special thanks to Carolyn Fusco, who called the directions. Our music is by Terry Hughes. Find us on YouTube, IG, and X at Shame Piñata. Reach us through our website, shamepiñata.com, and subscribe to the show on your favorite player. I'm Colleen Thomas. Thanks for listening. P.S. You can get 2 months of free podcasting service with Libsyn. Check out the show notes for your promo code to get started podcasting today.